This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Where are you?
I am in Columbus, Ohio.
Seems to me you could have come over here for 30 minutes and then headed back to Columbus, Ohio.
Headed back to Columbus, Ohio. Yeah, because my jet, is doing what my jet does. Yeah, I just, get on a jet, get on a private jet, fly there, and then fly back to Columbus. Yeah, that sounds great. That sounds like a great plan, Not.
Did I see you're selling the RV?
I am selling
what?
The RV.
Why?
Because the kids are doing so much better in their autism journey. They're able to fly. We took a test flight, went to Houston for just, a couple of days. And, we had to make a few adjustments. We shipped the luggage down so we wouldn't have to stand at baggage claim. Mm. We flew first class so we could, have a little bit more room.
Well, you're going to make $10 million this year. They better fly first class.
They better, yeah. And so they did such a good job. And so we got ready to, plan a little trip. And they were like, well, are we going to fly? And I said, well, you don't want to go in the RV? They said, well, it takes a little bit. And, if we get there sooner, we'll have more time. And so I was like, do I still need this thing?
No.
Should I sell it? So I am selling the RV.
Okay. You want to tell us how much?
Yes, I'm selling the RV for $80,000 or best offer. It, of course, is in excellent condition.
$500
Reach out to me. $500. Well, you know what? If I sold it for $10, I'd make a profit because remember, I got it for free.
I know. Honestly.
Isn't that amazing?
Honestly.
Isn't that amazing?
That's exactly why I offered you $500. Like, I'm literally giving you $500.
And that would be a 500% profit because I didn't pay anything for it. And it's funny because I was trying to go through, dealerships. I really want to sell it to a family. Because we took excellent care of that thing, and I got an extended 2-year warranty. And so I was trying to sell it to a dealership just so, I could get it off my hands quickly and come from up under the insurance and storage fees and all that good stuff. And they kept saying, well, what about your loan? We'll pay off your loan for you. I said, oh, I don't have a loan. And they paused. And they were like, wait, the RV's 3-4 years old, and you're the only owner, and you didn't get a loan? I was like, no, I'm rich. I'm rich, and so I don't have a loan, of course. I'm not lying. I am rich. I didn't have a loan. I just forgot to tell them that Marcus Lemonis gave it to us, and we didn't have to pay anything for it.
Well, the key is you're subtle about it. Like, you don't want to just, can we go back to your kids about how brilliant they are? Let's see, kids. We're going to let's use your Columbus example. We get another bus or RV there, excuse me, and it's going to take us, I don't know, what is that, like 11 hours, 12 hours, something like that?
Yeah, it's going to take us a day and a half,
Or we could fly there in an hour and 15 minutes. Jeez.
Sit in first class.
All
the candy you want and get all the food. Yeah, let's see. Sit in the RV for a day and a half and share a bed with my brother or get on this first class flight and get there right away. First class flight, please. Thank you.
Yeah, they're very savvy. Okay, now tell me why you are in Columbus, Ohio.
I'm in Columbus, Ohio, because last week I saw a story that got national media attention. A woman was at home with her autistic son, Kenyon, and her nephew was visiting, and he went outside and didn't close the door. Kenyon was a wanderer, got out of the house, and ran full speed for half a mile to get to the nearest lake. Thankfully, she saw that he had escaped and eloped right away, called 911, and the London police officers started searching for Kenyon, and one of the officers caught him on the dash cam, just running as fast as he could to the lake, and he jumped right in. And the officers jumped out of their car, and you can catch this all on a dash cam, Chad. It is amazing to see. These officers jumped in that cold creek and rescued this child. He was in the process of drowning, and his body was going under.
Oh, wow. You
see them snatch him up and run to, you know, land with him and wrap him up in a coat and call 911, and the ambulance came and, you know, took him off to the hospital. And so I said, I want to do a live donation event in that city. And I prayed that Kenyon and his family would come. You know, the police wouldn't give me their name and information, of course.
Yep.
And they were the first people to show up. And I've done, Chad, this is my eighth lock donation event where I buy up Amazon interior combination door locks that have key bypasses and give them to families who have children with autism who want but can't afford to buy one. I typically go to towns where there has been a tragedy. I've been to Marshall, Minnesota, Hopkins, Houston, Boston. And every time I go to a city, I'm meeting a parent who just buried their child. They're showing me funeral programs or pictures or giving me artwork that the child drew to say thank you for bringing awareness to this. Today was the first time I went to a city and the child was still alive. I got to meet the child who wandered away. He didn't drown. I got to meet his mama. I got to hug her. We got to cry together. And we gave away 50 locks today to families who have children with autism. So that's 50 lives saved.
Thank God. Okay, thankfully this happened. When you end up going to more of the stories when a child is gone, what do you say? What is your approach? How do you try to comfort the parents when they're facing something as unspeakable as this is?
You know what I tell them? I am here for you. I came all this way just to honor you and your child. And I want to let you know that you are the reason that I'm doing this. And they are always so grateful. And they say, I don't want another mother to have to go through this. Thank you. I wish I had known these locks were available. I'm going to help you spread the word. What do you need me to do? They're usually bringing me, Chad, like I said, funeral programs or artwork or showing me photos of their child who's no longer here. And we're sitting there and we're crying together and we're holding hands and we're praying together. And they are just so grateful that somebody else understands them, understands their pain, know what they're going through. And, you know, we share a lived experience. We share that lived experience. And so they are as happy to see me as I am to see them.
Well, that's great that you're doing that. It's tremendous that you're doing this. Remind folks, if they want to help the effort, if they want to contribute to this, what is the best way for them to offer this help?
You know what? If you can go to my website, ShalettaMakesMeLaugh.com, right at the top, there is a tile that says buy a lock. And if you click on that, it'll take you to my Amazon gift wish registry. And, you know, people, it's so funny because I tell you, the people who follow me, my fans, they already know me so well. Like when I saw the story about the little boy, Kenyon in London, Ohio, who ran away from home and was rescued, I didn't even ask anybody. Folks just start buying locks. Mm-hmm. And shipping them to my house because they knew I was going. And so this, you know, this time I think I bought 30 locks, but I got 20 donations from, you know, so super nice Minnesotans who say, I want to support your efforts. I want to help out. And they just automatically went to my website, bought a lock, and shipped it to the house. So I have an Amazon gift registry, just like people have wedding gift registries. And you can go on my website and find that and click on it, and you can send the locks to the house. And I promise you, I'm going to get it to a family in need.
Beautiful. Hang on, Shaletta. More with Shaletta again. ShalettaMakesMeLaugh.com. Well worth your time. Shaletta Brundage back with us in moments on CCO.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey, pass one, Am I Wrong with Lindsey Brown in for Dave Harrigan. Dave's back on Monday. This is your new producer, Lindsey. Have you guys, you saw each other last week. Did you work together the next day? Did that happen?
I think, Lindsey, I was in and you were on the board for half of the show. So we did work together, and we'll be working together more and more. And I just have to say, I'm very happy to have a woman producer. We just were more meticulous. We're more thorough. Follow through is great. Yeah. I mean, as a producer myself, I remember when I was your producer.
Yeah, I do too.
You know, I tried to train Dan Cook, but he was untrainable. He didn't listen. Yeah. I know you were very unhappy with, you know, a lot of the work that he did, because there's no way he can measure up to me. All those great CBS interviews that were canned that I got you.
I think you need to look up the word measure again. I think you and measure might want to measure a little bit. Now, you could be tough on producers. I know that, because it's a little bit of this. Like, there'll be some shows where you've provided every single guest. There'll be other shows that you'll roll in Saturday about 11:45 and say, fill in the blank. Who do we have? Have we filled every slot? How are you going to be with Lindsey?
Gentle at first. Right, because I don't want to get the call from Brad, because, you know, I'm not a producer whisperer. I scare people. Somebody got to take Rashina's place, okay? That's all I know.
Somebody, you're not going to that level.
Up in here.
Yeah.
Shaletta the Sheen. I'm the Sheen. But
you loved working with the Sheen, didn't you? That was just one of the greatest joys of your life.
The Sheen and Jordana kept me on my toes. I'm going to just say that.
Okay.
You ain't pulling nothing over Jordana or the Sheen's eyes. I told Jordana one time, she was like, Shaletta, where's my printout? I said, oh, the printer not working. I looked for Jordana. She's going to get the engineer. I was like, what?
Okay.
Oh, this lady's going to make me work.
As someone who pulled off a lot on my father with shenanigans, I'm better than the printer doesn't work. When, by the way, that was the time we actually had an engineer. We have one now. I mean, bravo. I mean, we had about a 12-year gap without one. But you got to be a little more creative than that. The printer's not working when there's a printer right in the room.
Right in the room. I thought she would just go away, but she didn't. I looked for her. Her and the engineer sitting at the printer, and they're like, oh, no, it's working. She's like, Shaletta, the printer. I was like, oh, y'all fixed it. Oh, okay, girl, let me get it together.
You are shameless, honestly. Okay, so when I was putting out the tweet at Chad Hartman Show, I just, out of just reflex, I went, Feisty Friday with at, and then I punched in S-H-E, and I'm like, and then I went, oh, yeah. And I went, oh, yeah. Okay, so it's, what is it, about 8-9 days without the X?
It is 8-9 days without the X. You know, I had something very therapeutic happen. I don't know if you knew this, but I'm a columnist for the Star Tribune newspaper.
Yeah, you've mentioned that.
I talk about it.
Just once or twice. Yeah.
How they came begging me to write for them because, you know, since CJ and your dad are not there anymore, the numbers are down. They're trying to get somebody who's super famous that everybody loves, so they begged me to come and work for them. So I said, okay. And so they asked me if I would write a column about leaving Twitter. And so, you know, I had to think about it, you know, and I know you and I talked about it.
I think you're giving up. That's what I think.
I didn't give up. I decided to move.
Yeah,
I decided to move.
Fight the fight.
The neighborhood is not what it used to be. And so I decided to go to a new neighborhood. I'm just hoping all my old neighbors can find me. But, you know, it's like building a house from scratch. I had great followers, great support on Twitter. As soon as I put something out, my people already knew what to do. Like it, share it, retweet it, write a comment, get it up in the algorithms. And now I got to go to a whole new thread. I don't know these people. They don't know me. I'm like, hi, I'm not the village crazy lady. Would you please follow me back? Would you please
sure
like
that.
Me? And so, shut up. And so I have, like, you know, I went from 7,000 followers to 7. I'm starting all over on some other place, you know. So it's going to take some work. It's going to take them getting used to me. It's going to take me understanding how to communicate with them. But I would rather build in a new community online than stay in the old one and hope things turn around, because it just got to be pretty trashy.
Well, here's my dilemma, right? Number one, I want you to fight the fight. And number two, I've said over and over again lately, if people leave Twitter, just leave. Don't tell us all about it. Now you're writing the whole column about it.
A whole column. It may be online. Check to see if it's posted, because I just turned it in last night. Right. I was at the hotel.
I refuse to read it. I refuse.
You gotta go. Just go see if it's posted. Can you just see if it's posted?
Okay, let me go.
I was because she was like, "What are you gonna write about this week? Your column is due." And I'm like, "Okay." So it's at the hotel last night. I was writing a column. I turned it in this morning. We chatted about it. I sent some photos, and it's supposed to be posting today. Is it online yet?
I don't see it, but I assume the headline is Quitter Talks About Quitting. Is that what I'm looking for here?
Quitter Talks About Twitter. That's what I should have did. I should have said Quitter Talks About Twitter. No, it was a very catchy headline. It said, "I'm Xing out Twitter, how I left the social media site that made me famous." Because I've got to bring it back to me. I've got to bring it back to what I've done, you know, because I have to talk about me.
Yeah, I know that's. I know you're reluctant to do that. I don't see anything right now.
You don't see it? Okay, it's not there. And it's so funny because my editor was like, "So in this article, you said something about Twitter making you famous, and do you want to say that because you might get some backlash?" I said, "Ma'am, that is absolutely true. Of course I want to say that. I want to be famous. I want to talk about that." And, you know, I had to remind her that, you know, not enough women talk about being famous and being successful and getting the spotlight. We got to come out of that. We got to come out of that, because men don't have no problem doing that. Men have no problem jumping into that spotlight, even if y'all don't deserve it. And we feel like we have to deserve it and earn it and fight.
I like how I got broad brushed into this. Thank you a lot. Here we go again.
She's right here.
Honestly.
Sit down.
And your broad brushing when I get thrown in the deep end. I mean, thanks a lot. Okay, how are the kids holding up on the trip?
They are doing fine. The kids are great. And, you know, it's cold, it's a little rainy, but, you know, everybody is doing well. And I'm telling you, we are going to be, you know, I'm even thinking about maybe, you know, jumping on a plane if we can find some good prices to get to Houston for Thanksgiving, because, you know, my mom is a better cook, quite frankly. And I don't know if Sean's going to cook and then allow me to be at his house and eat. I don't know how this is going to go. This is like our first official divorce Thanksgiving.
Yeah,
so I go over there to
question.
Eat. How does this work? You've been divorced and had Thanksgiving. Do y'all eat together? What is
we're
this?
Out.
I mean.
Yeah, so Kathleen and I, for a long time, we rotated Thanksgiving.
Okay.
But now we do it together.
Okay.
Last few years, we do it together. Oldest boy is a magnificent cook, Hunter.
Yes.
Ironically enough, he dealt with food phobia when he was younger, and now he's a fabulous cook. So we're actually going on Thursday. Kathleen's side of the family, they're going to go to my middle boy, Griffin. He's hosting for appetizers, because I'm the appetizer guy. And
yeah.
So I do the appetizers, and then Hunter – listen, Kathleen's a great cook. Hunter's pushed her out. Now, he makes turkey, and I'm down on him because, I mean, and he makes turkey about as good as turkey can be, and it's just at its best, it's average, okay?
Somebody said the other day, we should stop pretending that we want turkey for Thanksgiving and just do brisket.
Yeah.
We should do some other meat. I don't want that dry turkey. Why do we keep eating? We put gravy on, we put cranberry sauce on, we pile a bunch of sides on top of it. It's not good. It's not a good meal. And let the turkeys live and get to be old and have grandchildren. I don't want to eat turkey.
I mean,
I don't.
Brisket at its worst is so much better than turkey its best.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
I mean, brisket's amazing. But he's going to make multiple stuffings, and he's great at it. So I can just see you, like, maybe the kids are at Sean's for Thanksgiving and you're knocking on the door. Let me in.
Please.
Let me in.
You can smell down the hallway. Okay, so appetizers. Deviled eggs. I know y'all play underrated, overrated, or properly rated.
I think they're
eggs anymore.
I like them. I think they're underrated.
I love them too.
Lindsay,
I do too.
Deviled eggs.
I don't eat them.
She's wrong.
I need a new producer.
Yeah, get
her. This relationship is not going to work.
You know what? She's pro-devil. That's what it is. That's what I heard there.
She's a Satan worshiper. That's what I heard.
She pro-Satan. That's what I heard.
My grandma's listening right now.
Well, maybe she's pro-Satan, too. I don't know. I mean, I haven't met grandma yet.
I don't know. Yeah.
Our big thing is rumaki. Okay, so.
What is that? I don't know what that is.
Rumaki is you get water chestnuts, you drain them, you put soy sauce, let them stand there for a while, then you wrap them in bacon, and then you broil them, and they are magnificent.
Rumaki. Okay, I have to look this up.
Rumaki.
Okay, help me understand something. With all of the food that we have to eat for Thanksgiving, all the sides and the meat and the bread and the dressing, and why would you have appetizers? How do y'all make room for just appetizers?
Well, first of all, I had a colonoscopy the other day, and I lost 9 pounds. Although I've gained like 4 back in a day. So what does that say about my eating? Well, I also went drinking with DeRusha and Alyssa last night, so that probably helps.
Oh well, that's it right
well,
there.
So we're an appetizer earlier. We're an appetizer.
Okay.
12:30-ish, right?
Okay.
And then we don't eat dinner till like 4:30-ish. Right. So we build up a lot. I think more often than not, people have their main meal at like 2 or 3. That's too early.
Yeah.
Too early.
Okay. All right. Traditional dinner time Thanksgiving dinner.
Yeah, maybe a little early. I've declared myself the turkey czar. Appetizers, noon, Thanksgiving dinner, no earlier than 4:30. That's it.
Okay. Yeah. So we're eating that Thanksgiving dinner at 11 o'clock.
Oh,
and then we're eating again at 4:30, 5 o'clock.
Okay. That's fine. Okay. Now let's rank the pies. Number one pie. If not, I might hang up on you. Pecan pie. Number one. Let's go. You with me?
Pecan pie. Yes. I'm with you. And you better not. Pumpkin pie better not even be on the list.
It's on my list. It's on my list, but it's well back.
Where?
By the way, if it doesn't have whipped cream, get out of here.
Yeah, don't even bring it.
Don't even get it. Okay,
pecan pie is number one. Sweet potato.
Yeah, I definitely would. We probably don't get sweet potato pie enough. In fact,
really,
yeah, we're gonna have sweet potato pie this year. That's okay. A good adjustment. Pecan.
Sean makes a sweet potato casserole.
Oh,
because some of the kids.
Well, Sean likes me, so can I get sweet potato casserole from?
And there's flaming marshmallows on it. Oh, it's a thing. I'm going to start praying now that he has mercy and pity on me and allows me to come over for Thanksgiving.
I hope he's got a hot new girlfriend who's over there with him.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Like a 33-year-old.
33-year-old. She still smells like peppermint and cinnamon.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. The kids just love her. You know?
They love her. She braids hair. Yeah, she's great.
All right. Well, I'm sure we'll communicate at some point. But if we don't, for some reason, have the happiest Thanksgiving ever.
Thank you. God bless you. You too. And your family.
You too. Shaletta with us. It's 33 past 1 on CCO. Thank God we have an upgrade update. Lindsey Brown is in. Are you ready? Are you confident?
I'm feeling good.
So you have 4. We're going to get to all 4.
Yeah. Well, I got a little creative because I was wrong yesterday. So I wanted to make sure that I clarified. I know the radio professionals love when you do a callback to a previous episode,
which is
fully podcastable on the Odyssey app, as you've reported, has been fixed.
Yes.
That being said, yesterday we talked about actress Lacey Chabert. It was something about like Frosty, Santa Hot Frosty.
Hot Frosty.
Something about that.
I can't stop thinking about it.
Right, exactly. And Lacey Chabert, who I correctly identified as Gretchen Wieners from Mean Girls, I also attributed Kim Possible to her. That was incorrect on my part. I can't disrespect Christy Carlson Romano like that, who we all know from Kim Possible and the great Disney film Cadet Kelly, as well as Even Stevens. But Lacey Chabert was actually the voice of Meg in Family Guy, their first season. Ever since then, it's been Mila Kunis. So I just wanted to make sure that was accountable when I was wrong.
You're accountable.
Make sure that everybody got the information that was correct.
Unlike most people on the radio, just say things, hot take it, and then just move on and then deny it.
Yeah.
Okay, so out of the 4, how you're assuming I'm going to agree with all 4?
I'm not sure. I don't know you that well, Chad.
All right, let's go.
This is going to be an exploration for all of us.
Let's explore away. What's number 1?
Number 1, Turkey trot families are in the same Venn diagram of psychosis as the 2000 era Black Friday shoppers.
Wow. You're not big on the turkey trot.
No.
How come?
I witnessed one, I think it was three Thanksgivings ago when I was up in Anchorage, Alaska. And it was, I couldn't imagine voluntarily running, period. That seems like the eighth circle of hell to me. Dante has no real estate there.
And you're a former athlete,
correct.
Too.
That just shows you how much I sacrificed.
Yeah.
It's because I hate,
you're a giver.
I hate exercising. I am a giver. I am a giver.
You play college hockey and you hate exercise?
Yes.
Hello?
I know. We're learning a lot
about
each other.
You like torturing yourself?
And
are you a masochist?
Yes, 100%.
Yeah. Yeah.
I saw these people who voluntarily chose to run outside the day of Thanksgiving, but they also did it in Anchorage weather. It was 0 degrees. These people are out there in spandex, some of them in like full-blown turkey garb. Psychos.
Yeah.
Sorry. And you guys should go, create violence for a TV. Same people.
I
don't support that.
I just branch out even wider?
Sure.
The running concept is nonsense.
Thank you.
Exercising, I'm for it. Just running. You know.
60 seconds in, I'm like,
number
I'm done.
Number one psychopath I think of as a runner is Tom Hauser. I mean, I know him. He can't be trusted. He's a troublemaker. And also, here's what runners also like to do, Lindsay. Tell you about it.
Yeah.
There's no other activity on the planet compared to runners say, 5K today.
Yeah.
10K today. Oh, my time was up. No one cares.
Could feel lactic acid, right?
Yeah,
it's dragging me today.
Oh, the adrenaline
time
surge.
To stretch.
You know, weightlifters don't. You know, power lifter. I'm a power lifter. How often do I talk about my power lifting? I really don't.
In fact, you're a power lifter?
I'm a power
Olympic?
Lifter. Yeah. Yeah, a couple years ago. I mean, I don't like to talk about it.
Okay.
You know, I've maintained most of that power.
You like to lift things and put things down?
Runners. Just shut up. Let's just be blunt. You know, if you want to go run, that's fine. Stop telling us about it because we're not that fascinated. We're not.
I closed my rings today on my Apple Watch. I don't care.
Thank you.
I don't care. All right. I'm glad that we are on the same page with that.
Yeah, I took it even further.
All right. This was inspired by the one football game that I have watched in the last couple weeks. The phrases. The next kick after a missed kick is the slipperiest of slopes in sport. The potential to bloom into a problem is off the charts. Jobs are often lost because of this. And I thought of this because Evan McPherson, kicking darling for the Cincinnati Bengals, missed a couple in their game earlier this week. And even Justin Tucker
Chargers.
Of the Baltimore Ravens, who is lauded as the best kicker of all time, has struggled a lot this year. And so I'm saying the kick after the first missed kick, the slipperiest of slopes.
Well, Vikings fans know all about that.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not as much this year. Especially when our Will Reichert was there. Now, Parker, who did you see what Parker wore last week? Just tremendous outfit. Just tremendous outfit. Now, he missed. Remember a couple of years ago, McPherson was so good the year the Bengals lost to the Rams in the Super Bowl at SoFi. Do you remember what McPherson did? He didn't go to the locker room. He watched the halftime performance.
That's right.
Who was it? Can you Google who was the halftime?
Oh, wait, no, that was the compilation, like Snoop Dogg,
that's
Ice
right.
Cube,
that was,
Kendrick
Dre,
Lamar. Was there Kendrick Lamar's going to be performing this year as well?
Yeah, Eminem.
He just dropped a song today, actually.
How? I'll tell you what. You're really confident if you go to the coach and say, listen, I don't miss. I'm a kicker. I don't need to hear, you know, your offensive and defensive adjustments. I'm not adjusting.
I can't forget about Dre.
I'm Evan McPherson. I'm going to just stay out here and watch. Maybe more of the better players should get to do that.
Mm.
Maybe that would help the Wolves a little bit. We'll get to them in a little bit. Yeah, I love it, though, because kicking now seemingly is too easy. If somebody's going to make a 70-yard field goal before the year is done. Hot take.
Wow.
Yeah. Write it down. Wait, that's the wrong show.
In Denver, right?
Hold on. I got the wrong show here.
Has to be in Denver. You think somebody's got that leg to do it in the regular elements at sea level?
In a dome? Yes. It's like the 55-yard field goal is, it's no big deal. 70-yard field goal is going to happen before the year is done.
Do you know why?
Tell me why.
Because it's a lot easier to go 100% on that golf swing than it is to go 50.
I didn't realize Butch Harmon had entered the conversation here. Thank you, Butch. 46 past one. More of Am I Wrong? Next.
I blew his house with the blue little window and a blue Corvette. And
all right, I want a few more texts on this. We're needling runners here because they tell us too often. They tell us way too often they're running. What is another activity? What is another group cult-like where they have to share with you what they're doing? I think, and I'm not talking like chefs, I'm not talking people who do this for a living, but I think a lot of people like to tell us what they cooked. Now, here's where I'm a fraud. I love good food. And so I'm kind of fascinated. I think that's a bit of a shared experience. You know, you, and I can't use you in this example, but hypothetically I will, since you've said you hate running.
And yes. I think most food, to be honest.
And I believe you said you want most runners to die a painful death.
It's a stretch, but I'll let you do it.
I'm just not fascinated at all if you run. But if you make a great beef stroganoff, I will watch that. Because I might do that. But I feel like now, there's so much sharing of food now. What else we got?
Yeah, there's a lot of sharing of things in general. You mentioned the gym-going folk.
Yeah.
I'm not saying all gym people are like this.
It's a lot.
I'm just saying if you're trying to get your gains in, you're food prepping, if food prepping is involved, I hear about it. If you are food prepping to get your gains, you are advertising that to almost every single person you talk about.
Very good
and
point.
I understand you bought like a 50-pound bag of rice.
Yeah.
I don't care.
Yeah.
I'm getting McDonald's later.
Yeah. I really don't care that you've got goulash for the next 4 months.
Getting my inflammation down.
Even though it sounds good, goulash is a word that just sounds good to say. Goulash. You know, go ahead, give it a try.
Goulash.
Yeah, see, it sounds good. All right, what is next on Am I Wrong?
90% of laundry rules are bogus, and dryer sheets are a racket.
These are very specific.
That's what I am.
And direct. Harrigan likes the storytell, likes the build-up. You're just like, boom, here we go.
They said hot take.
Okay, give me some.
Get to the point.
Okay, I agree. I like it. Give me an example of a laundry rule that you think is garbage. Are we
separating
like
colors and whites? Unless it's red. Red is the only one that you really need to worry about. Otherwise, you're good. I'm telling you, you're good. Especially if you're washing it in white or in white water, in cold water.
You're so right on that.
And dryer sheets are a racket. You do not need them. You do not need them. I haven't bought them for probably since college.
Why?
Why would you? I'm anti-consumption.
You're anti-consumption.
So I try to cut out as much as I possibly can from my life. Because then I don't have to spend as much money.
Yeah. I'm sure that's really the tipping point, those dryer sheets, right? I mean, you're not Matt Gatesian, you're Bill Gatesian because of you've saved money there.
I'd like to be Melinda, actually, instead of Bill.
Yeah, that's probably a better situation. I'd rather be Warren Buffett. Or I'd rather be the Prime Minister, Elon Musk. Prime Minister
Prime
Musk.
Minister. Supreme Leader?
Yeah. Once you've washed a color at least once. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to throw pink in there, too.
Okay.
A red and pink. That's it. This idea, these are all there, like, I'm separating. You're wasting water.
Yes.
Just you're wasting water.
You got to do two loads. You know who that is convenient for? The people that make the things you have to do the two loads for.
I started to do it the other day. Now, I do separate my towels. Do you separate your towels?
No, I should.
Separate the towels.
They're not as soft then?
Get the towels out of there.
Okay.
Trust me on the towels.
Okay.
I had a towels pile. I had a lighter pile and the colors. I went, what am I doing? I looked to make sure there wasn't something chartreuse. I'm not even sure what color it is. It's just a good word. I wanted to say it again, chartreuse. And then I just put them all together. And you know what? I'm fine. Maybe you get burned every 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And maybe it hurts your soul when you get burned. But it's better than just sitting there and waiting for that extra load of laundry. And I'm not saying my life is that busy. I'm that fascinating. But, yeah, you're right. Taking on big colors and big laundry, I applaud you. Very good. All right, I'm going to guess.
That's all I got.
The last.
That was four.
That was four?
That was four. Granted, like you said, I didn't do a whole lot of storytelling.
And so I know that
for next time. To build it up, tease it.
I was about to say, I'm going to guess your last one is going to be six words.
No.
You know, how fast you could get to it.
I can give you some words that I have enjoyed saying because they feel good going off the tongue. It's been going around my brain for the last couple weeks.
Go ahead.
Mondo Duplantis. You know what that is?
I don't think
it's a pole vaulter, the Swedish pole vaulter that went to LSU.
I don't.
Or goes to LSU. Lots of gold medals, breaks his own world record every 2 seconds. His name is so fun to say. Mondo Duplantis.
Yeah.
Thank you.
How often is he breaking a record?
Every time he competes.
Every time.
Every time.
By the way, at what point in your life do you decide, you know what? I'm good at pole vaulting.
Yeah. Well,
what if you find out you're not good at pole vaulting? That's not good.
Right?
I can't believe that's really pleasant.
One of the things that I think about with high-level athletes, because you work your whole life to achieve, to win, to perform. Let's say you win the gold medal. Next morning, you got to wake up and take a poop just like everybody else. How do you move on? Like, can you imagine? And then it's just done.
How do you know he's pooping like everybody else?
I'm just making an assumption. I probably shouldn't do that.
You don't know that.
I don't care what other people are doing with their parts, unlike others. So.
Thank you. Good to know. Pooping like everyone else. Mondo. It's 1:57. That is the Lindus Construction Time Check. Time to replace your old windows with Infinity from Marvin and get free installation labor. Collar and Guerin next hour.